You know, nowadays it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts and how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't wanna move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America, fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people, yeah, yeah. Tell them how you feel.
Gotta talk to y'all.
Gotta talk to the people.
Okay, neither one of us are quitting our day jobs. So. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
Welcome to Community Watching Comment, Friday edition. I'm Ryan Pinchback, along with Chip Jones.
Hello.
And, but before we get started, I want to let people know that this weekend is Harriet Tubman Day. It's going to be acknowledged at Westminster Church from 1 to 3:30 p.m. This Saturday, tomorrow. So you'd like to go by and pay tribute to a hero, shero, then that will be what you can do, okay? So that's tomorrow at Westminster Church. Our own Joni Eisenberg of Hill, D.C. Will be emceeing that program. And it's all part of the Celebrate to Educate here in Washington, D.C. Yeah. All right, so. We also have an anniversary. PFW has an anniversary coming up next month, right? And anniversary celebration. You can go to our website and find out more about that. We'll be telling you more about that this morning, okay? All right. Now, community watching comment.
A lot going on.
A lot going on. And I think surprising a lot of folks are the protests that have erupted around the country, not by, you know, quote unquote lefties and all that, but by Republican voters. They have been very intense in their opposition to these policies that the administration is currently embracing. They're having they tried to have a few town halls that were, and got, you know, the representatives got shouted down. And this is 2 months into their tenure.
Right.
So the question this morning is, you know, are you surprised about that, or Should independents and Democrats, you know, join them? You know, your thoughts on the fact that they're doing this, that they're coming out in droves, and you know, these are Republican voters saying that they are not happy. You know, democracy in action. I reckon
that's it. Okay? They don't like the smell of musk.
Yeah, right. Especially burning ones, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So listen, we're gonna take a quick music break. We want you to, you know, think, get your thoughts together, but share your thoughts about what's happening here in the streets, you know, of the United States of America. People are holding up signs accusing Trump of being a traitor, and they're saying no King Musk. It's all, I mean, you know, these protests are happening all over the place.
Right.
Perhaps you've joined a few, you know?
Yeah. There's a protest in front of every Tesla dealership the other day across the country. They were picketing those too.
It's because those people want their money back. All right. So anyhow, here's a little old classic Sly Stone. Stand. In the end, you will be you.
One that's done all the things you set out to do. Stand.
There's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere.
Things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal.
Too long.
There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. Stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and a giant beside him about to fall.
I remember. Well, no, I was too young. I'm too young. I don't remember.
Yeah, man.
I may have seen that on a history program.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's classic. Classic Stone. Classic.
I can see those white bell bottom pants. Yep.
Yeah. I got the opportunity to see him at Wooster College in Wooster, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Back in 73. Yeah, that was his redemption tour. He had a problem with showing up. Hmm. He had a problem with showing up, so he had to put on some concerts to restore people's confidence in his showing up on time and things like that.
He would be there,
That he would be there.
Yeah.
So he came to a little Wooster College and put on a grand show. He tore it up. Well, anyhow, this morning.
Got a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, we got some, our phones are out. We're trying to restore them. So hopefully we'll get your chance to call in and share your thoughts about the emerging protests, you know, all over the country, you know. No city, no state being spared. Republican senators and congressmen running for their lives.
They're afraid. Some of them have gone online just so they don't have to be face to face with it. But yeah, and of course, you know, the talking points now is that, oh well, that's a bunch of paid Democrat people. But you know, the Republican representatives have to say, well, you know, the people that were at mine, I know them. They're my
constituents. Yeah, exactly. They're my neighbors.
Yeah, they're my constituents. I recognize the faces.
Well, this you know, it's interesting that that this is occurring. I don't think anybody saw this coming. And this is, you know, this is true grassroots anger. You know, folks say, "Oh no, Medicare, my son's job is being taken away. Now he's gonna be back home in my basement." You know, it's they got some real concerns out there.
Yeah.
You know, Medicare.
You know, and it's affecting a lot of people's lot. I mean, Lake Tahoe has no rangers, so people are going there looking to, you know, camp or, you know, hit the lake, and there's no support whatsoever. There's
no support whatsoever.
Not a single ranger at Lake Tahoe.
So people are like, that just doesn't even sound right. You know?
Yeah,
doesn't even sound right. But that's what we're enduring. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, they're still talking about gutting the education department. It's, you know, well, once again, these people are asking why.
Right.
You know, why are you doing this? You know, give us a reason. And what's so interesting is that these representatives are standing up there trying to justify the unjustifiable.
Right.
And they are running into some serious headwinds.
People aren't buying what they're selling. You know, somebody's on talking about the VA, talking about how they're firing all these people to streamline so people will get service better. You ever been to a grocery store with, you know, 10, 15 people in line, and they said, you know what, we're going to close the cashier down so people can get through faster. It's like, really?
And any vet will tell you, it's already, you know, a log jam.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you're going to make it worse.
That's right.
Yeah. So, it's a lot going on. And then they're out there shaking their fists, you know, and then lining the streets, you know, with their signs, telling Vance to go skiing in Russia. you know, it's, it's a lot to take in, you know. I'll say this: I was surprised that how quickly folks caught on. Mm-hmm. I thought it would take till the summer, but it's happening now.
Yep,
like it's happening right now.
People are starting to realize really fast, you know, what's going to happen, and I'm sure. The administration thought this little, you know, 12-15% drop in eggs would be okay, but it's like, I'm not worried about eggs when I can't get anything else, you know?
Right. Like, when I don't have when my job's been taken away, you know, when they even got the nerve to be talking about Social Security. Now, in the 80 years existence of Social Security, it has never missed a payment.
Right.
But they've been gutting Social Security Administration, throwing sand in that machine. And so people are now, everybody be looking in their mailbox to make sure that they get their check this month. They might not get it next month.
Yeah, don't know.
Can you imagine that?
And that this touting of Doge, I mean, I think
Doge.
Somebody was saying that, you know, first of all, we know they've been taking stuff down because it's been fact checked. Now they're starting to hide the contract numbers and stuff like that, so things can be fact checked. But at this point, it says, you know, about 92% of the savings that Doge has claimed aren't really savings at all. They're not real.
Aren't real.
Yeah.
And these people are in these, and look, and these people are coming to these town halls and telling them that.
Right.
You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't do it all the time. And like I said, I'm just surprised how quickly they caught on, but that's because the administration is acting so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If they had dragged out these cuts, you know, over a couple of years or something, then, you know, maybe they wouldn't be so vociferous. Right.
But you know,
no, this is,
when you talk about drag it out for a couple of years, they didn't even have to do that. If they just dragged it out the time they need to do it correctly, like all these people that they fired, you know, the judge put a stay on that and said they had to rehire these people.
Goodness, yes.
It's because they were defying the law, you know, that you can't just fire people willy-nilly. You're not meeting qualifications or you're being fired for cause. And the judge says, yeah, that's bull. That's a lie. You know, you can draw down forces, but there's a process. There's a legal process. And that's
what happened to all the HRs in these buildings.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you have people who come up and say, well, you know, I just got promoted and now I'm being fired. So you're telling me I wasn't fulfilling my job, but you promoted me?
See, that's the other insidious part of this that people should be outraged about.
Right.
Is that you're going to lay people off. You at least say, all right, he did a nice job, but we're downsized.
Right.
No, they're giving these people, you know, questionable reviews.
Right.
After they've had careers, you know, spotless careers.
And being fired for cause makes it harder for you to get unemployment. It makes it harder for you to get reemployment.
Yes.
So it's like you're doing the people a disservice. And I guess the thing that's happening is that, you know, one of the things that Trump does is he lulls his people into believing that they can lie. You know, I mean, that's basically what it is. They have become too comfortable with lying. They never expected people to push back and say, you know, I don't believe that.
Man, they're telling big lies, too,
I just don't believe that.
Yeah, they're telling lies that can be verified easily.
Yes.
You know? So they lie and they're bad liars, you know? That's what makes it so, you know, crazy. All right, let me talk with our engineer. Engineer, any word on our phone chat? If not, just give me a signal. If yes, give me a signal. Okay, very good. Folks, we do not have our phones yet. Sorry, you had to listen to me and Chip. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's a good possibility we may be without phones for this particular show.
Cool.
But that's the cost of moving and relocating and such and such. Okay. So bear with us. And you know, thank you for your patience. Thanks for staying with PFW.
So, Ron, does that mean you and I get to brush off that duet we've been working on?
Nah, man. No. Now, you trust me, you don't want me singing. Okay? Do not want me singing. Okay, now, tariffs. We didn't even talk about that.
Right.
Tariffs. 25%. 200%. You know, destroying the economy of the United States. To what end?
And there again, lying about, you know, lying about our number one customer and, you know, one of our longest held allies, you know, Trump going after Canada. It's like, really? And then, you know, the whole deal of, oh, they took advantage of us. Bad deals, bad deals. It's like, well, you know, the deal that you're talking about is the one that you negotiated.
Ooh, thank you. It's like that he negotiated.
He negotiated.
So that's why, and I think that's what people are beginning to see. Everybody knew Trump was a non-truth teller. Okay.
To put it mildly.
Yeah, put it mildly, you know. And everybody, I think his supporters even thought that, well, you know, he'll learn from his mistakes and whatever. Well, he did learn from his mistakes. The mistake he made last time is not moving fast enough. So this time he ain't gonna make that mistake.
Right.
He's just gonna
create chaos.
Create chaos, because in chaos comes control.
I mean, what do you gotta do to make Canadians mad? I mean,
dang. You know?
It's like, what?
And he was giving this talk the other day, talking about, well, you know, Canada would be a far better, you know, state than it would be a country.
Right.
I mean, this, where in the world? I mean, good gracious. But anyhow, but the Canadians are not taking it.
Nope.
Ain't taking it. Neither are the European countries.
Especially, you know, not Greenland. They're not interested at all.
So. You know? And look, he didn't put out another, you know, and he's such a bully. I mean, why? You know, when you have the strongest military in the world, do you need to have a military option to control the Panama Canal?
Right.
I want a contingency in case we had to go down there.
Right.
People we've been at peace with forever, we're going to war with, all of a sudden, neighbors, allies. And but now he's...
It doesn't bode well as true and just arbiter for Ukraine and Russia if Trump wants to do the same thing Russia did to Panama. You know, it's like, where he's just about, well, we'll just take it. Same thing with Greenland. We'll just take it. You know?
Yeah. They want things talking about taking Canada.
Right.
So, man, now he already took the Gulf of Mexico, you know, so. But like I said, this is all too much for voters out there, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. They're watching. And they're responding. And they're responding by taking to the streets.
Right.
Showing their displeasure, which is the American way.
Right. I think a lot of them are also realizing that if they let this slide, that things will be so bent out of shape that America will be different. That, you know, it leaves the door open for somebody to come in after him doing this same kind of stuff, you know. That all the guardrails will be gone.
You know, and another breaking story this morning is that, you know, they're talking about the shutdown, government shutdown, all this stuff going on. I mean, you know, and now they're talking about a shutdown. Okay, they've known it for days, weeks, whatever. But the precipice is today.
Right.
And Schumer had rallied the Democrats to resist, you know, supporting this continuing resolution. But then he switched up on them,
right,
and said, you know, hey, I didn't change my mind. I'm gonna vote for this. And of course, the Democrats are hard to be worried, you know. Hard to be tied, you know, and which they should be.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Chip.
I was going to say the scary thing. I mean, like AOC said, the scary thing about this is if you let this budget bill go through purely Republican, you know, they don't want to negotiate anything. You can set up a codification of the stuff that Trump is doing, because it's now part of the budget, and it's a lot harder to rewind stuff that Congress has voted and approved than something that has not been codified by government yet. So I see that Democrats, you know, they don't want to be the ones to shut it down, but it's like it really is the Republicans that are forcing this, because they refuse to do bipartisan. They refuse to come to the table and talk about some of these major issues on how money is spent and money is not spent, you know?
Yeah, Schumer's rationalization for switching this vote was because he said, well, because he's afraid the Democrats are going to get blamed.
Right.
They're going to get blamed anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get blamed anyway. Because, first of all, the Republicans are going to blame them. You know, the citizens will blame them for not having their stuff together again. You know, it's, you know, so, you know, and the other more important thing is this. A lot of those Democrats were looking at the resistance of this bill, you know, as a resistance to the whole project, the whole 2025 project.
Right.
You know, there was the beginning of the of some resistance to these things that are happening. So it makes them look very, very bad again. So you know, we talked about all the rallies and things like that that people are protesting. Keep in mind, these are not political rallies in the sense that, well, we're rallying behind a candidate or even a party. These people hollering at these representatives because they, what is it, do your job.
Right. And they feel like it's a bait and switch. You know,
that
these guys are not upholding what it is to be America, you know. This is as they constantly said, and you know, it always seems to be not the truth. This is not who we are. You know, finally someone's standing up and saying, look, this is not who we are. We're not going to accept this, you know?
Somebody got to say it. Somebody got to do it. So, you know, I take comfort in that folks are not so brain dead that they can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
You know?
And they're peeping through over the partisan veil. I mean, like you
right.
said, a lot of these are Republicans that are like, no, you know, no, we're not doing this.
And if you knew the Republicans out there doing these protests and lining the streets with signs saying, you know, go home, Musk, and you know, Musk is a traitor, and you know, things like that.
I didn't vote for Musk.
Yeah, I didn't vote for Musk. You know, who is Musk? You know, yeah, that's going to be a real interesting historical footnote, you know, for this country, you know, in the future, definitely. I mean, that's never happened before. You know, when some robber man comes in and just, and, you know, somebody gives him some money, and all of a sudden, you know, people are making policy.
Right.
You know?
Or actually, yeah, they gave money, and all of a sudden they're making policy. You know,
yeah.
They bought their way into government. It's like,
Making policy. Let's try that, Chip, you know?
That's it.
Get a couple of dollars together, man. Go up there and You know, see what it's going to take, you know?
Here's my check. I'm here for work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do we get an apron with a logo on it or something? What do we get? T-shirts? Matching shirts?
But you get a shirt, but you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They usually take the shirt off your back in government.
This is another story that's going to be emerging. Remember now, this whole anti-government thing was started with the Tea Party.
Right.
Okay, I saw an old bumper sticker, old Tea Party bumper sticker the other day. Reminded me of this. But it started with the Tea Party. The anti-government. The government is not your friend. And but yet, we've come to depend so much on those government workers, you know, who get those checks out, who process those claims, who keep things moving.
Right. Attention to the details. You know, it's about governance, people that are thinking forward. You know, I tell my wife all the time about one of my favorite books, you know, in high school was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, this little sci-fi book. And in one of the chapters, they talk about this planet that that all the people decided, you know, they were going to get rid of jobs or people that were useless. And they got rid of this job, which was called the, back in the day, you know, you had public phones. They had a job where people would go around and they would sanitize the public phones. And they said, oh, you know, we don't need that. You know, if there's something on the phone, somebody will take a napkin and wipe it off or whatever. And so they ask, well, what happened to the people on that planet? Said, well, they're all gone. What happened? Well, a virus came up on the public phones and nobody was cleaning them, so it killed off everybody in the planet. So it's that long-term thinking. And I was reminded that, you know, in the mid-2000s, like around 2010 or something like that, a bunch of libertarians took over a town in New Hampshire, which they said, well, you know, we're getting rid of local government and all this stuff. It's a waste.
It's a bad thing.
And what happened is they started getting rid of stuff and didn't care about it. And one of the things they got rid of was garbage pickup.
Ooh.
Well, when they got rid of garbage pickup, what happened is that the bears started coming into town.
Coming to town.
So,
over the season.
So the bears wound up taking over the town. The people in the town had to move out because the bears had overrun the town. And it's that kind of stuff that governance is about. It's about taking care of the details. You know, I keep saying that we never got Trump on the fact that one of the reasons that coronavirus got so big is it got a foothold before we knew what was going on, because he got rid of all of the pandemic early warning systems that Obama had put in place, you know. So it's like,
and speaking of that, we've got the measles outbreak,
right?
You know, with a vaccine denier,
right?
You know, in charge, and so the stuff is spreading. The response has been tepid,
at best.
At yeah. best, you know, incompetent at least.
Yeah, and you I don't think he even said anything about getting vaccinated until a child died. You realize that it had to take a life before he tepidly said, "Well, you know, maybe you should think about getting vaccinated." It's like,
yeah, where's the task force?
Yeah,
you know, where the PSAs? You know, his whole response is, well, you know, if you think taking your child to the pediatrician is best, take it to the pediatrician.
Right.
Man, it's too late for that. The schools are infected.
Right, and it affects other people. So you're putting other people at risk. And that's a problem, especially with a leader like Trump, who is about ego. He's not about governance. You know, he's not about the day-to-day sort of thing. He wants to come in and sign his name to some executive order, you know, and rolled out as a hero. It's like a lot of the stuff that you want from government is the is the minutia, you know, picking up the garbage. That's what you want. You want them, you know, clearing the snow, doing all that little things that actually make your life better.
And I tell you what, when if these folks don't get their Social Security checks on time, pitchforks and brooms, I mean, pitchforks and torches.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, there's no excuse for that. And you don't downsize an organization in the midst of that process.
Right.
You know, unless you got your stuff together.
Yeah.
You know?
Ducks in a row. And Musk has been very vocal about he thinks Social Security is a waste.
Yeah.
And as if this isn't our money, you know, it's like, I mean, that's the whole thing is when they start talking about this as entitlement, it's an entitlement because we paid for it.
Exactly.
You know,
that's why you're entitled to it.
To it. Exactly. You know, when I buy something at a store, I take it home because I'm entitled to it because I paid for it.
You know, it's actually pathetic to see Trump have a car show on the White House lawn to sell his financial contributor cars.
Well, you know, the other kicker to that is Trump has never driven, and as a president, he will never be able to drive again, even if he wanted to. That's part of the deal of being president, is that you never get to drive for the rest of your life. That's part of the Secret Service
protocols.
Yeah, there are only two presidents who've ever driven after being president, and that was LBJ
and Nixon.
And George Walker Bush, and all of them, both of them got to drive on their ranches. They can't drive publicly, but they got to drive trucks on their ranches. And LBJ had a car that he drove. But yeah,
there is a story about Nixon and the actor, the comedian, doggone it, To the Moon Gladys.
Oh, Ralph Crandon is the character he played, but yeah, I know you're talking about. Why can't I think of it either? Jackie Gleason. Yeah.
He and Jackie Gleason took a little whirlwind tour of Area 51.
With Nixon driving?
With what's his name driving? But they were unaccompanied. They were
You
know, no details, no Secret Service detail. But yeah, that's a so that's what the only other time I can think of.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Yeah, because one of the problems that the Secret Service has with a president driving is if you let them do that and there's a situation where they're attacked in a motorcade, everybody knows where the president is.
It makes sense, sure.
He's behind the wheel in full view, you know.
It's a reasonable policy. Right. You don't want the president out there cranking up the Pinto, you know. So, oh gosh, the things that we learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, by the way, I just want to remind us that once again, our phones are not on today, so you know, we apologize for the inconvenience. Hoping to be back next week. As you know, we've been relocating for a little over a month now, and we still got a few glitches here and there. But thank you for your support that allows us to get these things taken care of. Okay, really, really appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. So yeah, man, here we, you know, and look, what was it? Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sent all those, they spent millions of dollars to send illegal migrants to Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
Only to find out.
Can't do it.
Only to realize that the facilities were inadequate by U.S. standards.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they were trying to put them. So you had these troops. They had transferred all these troops from different bases in the country, in the U.S., down there, supposedly to be guarding these illegal immigrants that they were going to ship down there. And the housing that they were going to put these people in was inadequate.
Right. Well, I mean, as if, and that's the thing, is that as if they didn't know that. I mean, it was it inadequate?
No, they didn't know it. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, they could have known that it probably was, since it was inadequate for the prisoners that we were keeping there before and shut it down, right? it's not like they renovated the place in between.
Okay.
Having Al-Qaeda members there. Nobody went in there and said, you know what, we could knock out this wall and put a base.
Yeah, we need to spruce this up a bit.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, they sent those guys down there. They sent all those troops down there. Spent tens of millions of dollars for this. But where's Drogue? And that's the thing. You know, to waste like that, they had to end up flying those guys, flying those prisoners back to the States.
Right. Some of them.
And they only had 41.
Right. But see, that's the thing, is when you're not about governance, you're not about the minutiae, the detail, you know, that's when you do this kind of stuff, you know. And that's when you're babbling about how you're gonna cut school lunch programs to save $1.9 million while the president's spending, you know, tens of million dollars to go to the Super Bowl or to NASCAR. It's like, you know, your vision is skewed. You know, it's like.
Well, you know, I tell you, Chip, it's just amazing that, you know, one of the things that I think about when I look at history, and, you know, slavery, the Holocaust, you know, how the man's inhumanity to man,
mm-hmm.
And I said, damn, you know, we got history books,
yeah.
You know, why are you doing this? What, you know, what is your karma? You know, the cutting USAID, for example, knowing that, you know, children from around the world, children and adults,
are dying,
depend on these food supplements to survive, and you know, there's no alternatives out there. They can't grow, you know, crops enough, you know, to feed their villages and whatnot. But you're gonna do that. You're gonna do that. You're gonna embrace that pain so that you can sell cars on the White House lawn.
Well, even worse, you're gonna cut, you know, $7 million for HIV medicine for children in South Africa, and then hop on a plane with a bunch of Secret Service for $8 million to go play a couple rounds of golf.
Oh. I mean,
it's like the audacity, you know, the sheer audacity,
the sheer callousness,
right?
You know. But you know, there's an old saying about God don't like ugly. And, you know, the great arbiter of karma. So, you know, that's old wisdom. I'm surprised they don't understand that concept. You know, what you do to others will be done unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Simple stuff, you know. Do unto others as you want others to do unto you. So But that's where we are. I'm glad to see the American people stepping up.
Yes, that's it. Mobilize, organize.
Organize. You know, have a conversation. You don't get that. You got that neighbor flying all them flags out there, you know. And then they cut off his social security check. I wonder what he gonna feel about them flags he got all up in his yard, you know.
Right. And the other thing is this, you know, pernicious, and it's this thing of going after people for speech, you know.
Yes, that's
based on what they don't want to hear, you know. It's like, that's a slippery slope. If you let that slide, then you may be the next person who's being, you know, deported for what you're saying.
I mean, the man
is
these guys,
green card holder, married to a citizen with a baby on the way, and they're saying, well, as Rubio said, well, he shouldn't be here to begin with. Who are you to make that decision? You know,
this man has
gone through the process, and he is here, you know.
Yeah, and look, and it's not a slippery slope, man. It is a cliff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't hear Rubio or any of those guys talking about deporting the white supremacists at Charlottesville that were screaming about, you know, Jews will not replace us. I didn't hear anyone say, well, let's deport these people.
Yeah, man. So that's where we are, as they say. But yeah, it's beyond a slippery slope. You know, and freedom of speech is fundamental.
Yeah, bedrock for us.
To this country's existence. Fundamental, you know, and, you know, to the understanding of what this country is supposed to be.
Right.
But they don't, you know, they don't see it that way. You know, they think it's okay. The audacity to tell Georgetown, to tell Georgetown University that they are not going to hire any of their graduates because of Georgetown's policies regarding, racial equity,
right, and DEI,
and
right,
inclusion, DEI, yeah, you know. I mean,
yeah, I don't care what your grade you made or how well you did in school,
right,
because you were associated
Phi Beta Kappa, yeah, you know,
right.
So we ain't gonna hire you because we know you like colored people,
right? But we're all about merit, you know. We only hire people based on merit, you know.
And that's, you know, when you say that, I think about Clarence Thomas. Because that's all that was his whole thing at the beginning of his tenure, you know. Well, you know, I'm neither black or white. You know, I'm just, you know, the laws protect all of us. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, no, they don't. You know, and this is one of the examples of how. You know, so you can't just tell a university, you're going to discriminate against a student because the university had DEI policies. Oh, geez, what kind of lawyer is that? You know, that we even conceive of that and then put it out publicly.
Right. Yeah, they
like
they,
it's okay.
They are audacious. They believe that they can get away with it.
They want to eliminate eliminate equity and diversion and inclusion in the military. Yeah. And it's not, you know, they're trying to be fair about that. What do they do? They don't tell the military that you're not to have any more acknowledgments of Black History Month.
Or Women's History Month. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or Native Americans History Month. You know, so I mean, it's that kind of instance. It's like they're trying to erase, you know, the multicultural, the multicolored, you know, existence of this country. You know, and I guess they are, because, you know, they feel so threatened by, you know, by people.
Well, certain people. I mean,
certain people. Yeah,
you know, we got a holiday coming up Monday. I haven't heard them say anything about not talking about that. Nobody said anything about not celebrating St. Patrick's Day. You know.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, but that's an okay one, right?
Yeah. How about that? You know, we're in strange times. We're in a very strange time. But, you know, once again, karma has a way of flattening things out.
Right.
You know, and what's happening to a lot of our citizens right now for losing their jobs, you know, because the person that they had put in office said that they weren't working. Y'all ain't working. Y'all ain't coming to work. And, you know, these people get up and go to work every day, you know, fix their little sandwich, you know, get on the bus, you know, do their thing, get to work. These people, they don't work. That's why we got rid of so many of them, because they're really not working. Man.
Yeah.
The callousness of that. The unrealistic nature of that. I mean, it's unrealistic.
It has been the hallmark of, you know, sort of the quote unquote ruling class, is to always call the other, you know. But that's why, you know, it's you know, the immigrants from Mexico that are picking tomatoes for $5 a day. They're the lazy ones, you know, or it was the slaves that, you know, we have to beat them because they're lazy. You know, you mean the ones that are working out in the sun, picking cotton for nothing? Those are the lazy ones, right?
So that's a skill.
Yeah. It's always the ones that are being taken advantage of that are the ones that are lazy. They're lazy.
Exploitation. Exactly.
They don't want to work.
Yeah, you know, and incompetent. It's the way these workers have been disparaged, you know, for political expediency.
Right.
You know, it's unforgivable. That's why these people are in the street.
Organized. That's it.
You know, that's why y'all in the street.
We got to organize.
You know?
We got to.
I'd worked there 12 years. I got nothing but pluses on my performance reviews, and now you're gonna tell me I'm cut, you know, because I'm not up to snuff,
right?
You know, we're, like I said, where's the HR process in that?
I'm fired.
Nobody ever told me I wasn't up to snuff. I don't have no documents, you know, in my file saying I'm not doing the job. You're just making this stuff out of whole cloth, ruining these people's careers. Ruining their ability to find competent, you know, comparable work because of a political narrative. Yeah, they woke up. You're mad out there. Because, you know, it could happen to them.
Yeah, it just took a while for them to realize that, I think, you know. That some of those Trump supporters woke up, realized, it was okay. I was thinking it was okay when he's going to get the other person. I didn't know he was going to get me.
that's an old narrative, isn't it?
Right, and it's an old mistake. You know, it's like you should, mm-hmm. when you start to think like that, that's when you get caught.
That's when you get caught. That's when that karma catches up with you. Hey, look, folks.
We're almost out of time.
Yeah, we be out of time. Don't forget about the Harriet Tubman tribute at Westminster. That's a Saturday from 1 to 3:30. Joni Eisenberg, our good buddy, WPFW program host, will be emceeing that. And you can go find out more about that on our website, or you can look at Westminster's website. Okay? And it is free, I believe. So go check it out. Harriet Tubman celebration. Yeah. Another she-ro.
So hopefully we'll have phones next week. Ron and I will be quiet.
Listen, thanks for your patience, folks. And once again, I can't thank you enough, you know, for your the helping WPOW survive.
That's right.
Since 1977.
If this happens again, I'm giving them your home phone number, Ron. They'll call you. All right.
All right. Okay, guys. So listen, have a great weekend, you know, and keep your ears to the ground, put your shoes on, you know, and
head on a swivel.
Yeah, head on a swivel. You know, remember, you know, don't become the monsters. That's the hardest thing. Don't become the monster. I'm tired. Give me a stick. You know, that's what they want. So keep that in mind, okay? All right, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Chip, talk to you next week, bro.
Talk to you next week. Hey, thanks, Mike, our engineer, for,
yes, sir,
for trying to work the phones for us.
Keeping us together.
Black is for the beautiful face of a brown and beautiful.